With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We are children of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. VAR and all that shite. The Canaries beat the Magpies and Danny Ceballos impressed in Arsenal's win.
An early swear.
Yeah.
Naughty. naughty Monday.
We're feeling naughty on the Monday.
What a naughty sausage.
Naughty Santa. What was that? Who's the guy who did the song Vindaloo? Fat Les.
Yeah.
Did he do a Naughty Christmas? A song called Naughty
Might
Christmas.
Have done. Keith Allen was involved. Allen, naughty
Christmas. Cheeky Christmas?
I think it was Naughty Christmas.
Cheeky Christmas with the cheeky girls, no?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Lembit Opix. Girlfriend, one
still,
of them, or
yeah.
Both of them.
I've actually worked.
It's hard to tell.
I've actually worked with ex-Liberal Democrat MP Lembit Opik before.
He's a funny chap.
No doubt, Pete's worked with cheeky girls.
he's a strange fish.
Well, all right, there we are.
Our own cheeky girl is back next Monday.
Oh, he is. It's come around so quick. They grow up so fast.
Yeah. Jim Campbell.
I thought he joined The Athletic in a moderate money move. They offered £1 million. He lowballed them to £500,000.
They offered to pay off his Edinburgh debts.
Which are substantial.
And he was in there.
He joined on a free, in all senses.
Yeah.
Let's get straight into it, guys. Let's just get straight into it.
Yeah.
Manchester City and Tottenham Hotspur. VAR stopped Manchester City from winning. It didn't stop Pep and Poch from having a nice little chat, though. If anything, he'd aided it.
Pep came alive at that point, knowing that the focus would be on him to see what he was doing. Yeah, he was hugging Pep. He was shouting Aguero. Then he made up with Aguero.
I'm hugging and shouting. It was on like Saturday night.
It was like inside he was going, this is absolute crap. We've won the game. And it's kind of like, what do you think, Pep? And he knows that everyone wants him to moan, and he's going, it's absolutely fine.
Everything's fine. Yeah,
he's shaking.
Stay on the ship.
If anything, I'm happier than I was 5 minutes ago.
No, that, I'm really pleased with that decision.
I'm glad the technology works.
If anything, I wish one of our other goals was chalked off of VAR.
I'd rather have lost the game. But, you know, we are going to get just a finite amount of chances with our gracious and patient listeners to talk about VAR.
You, why don't you just take the lead on this one? We'll rotate the fouls.
More on that.
I'll do next week. Yeah. Marcus can do the next one.
I'm already quite fatigued by it. I'll chuck this cat among the pigeons.
Please.
I saw someone on Twitter this morning say, I forget who it was, so they have to forgive me.
Allow it, Mo, you twat.
They said, why don't I retire from football broadcast? And I said, maybe I will. Yeah. I haven't got enough money.
Well, at least let's have a referendum on it.
No, someone said on Twitter that what's lost in all this is that it was most of the people who support football teams and go and watch football on all the phone-ins and all the chat forums calling for this.
Yep.
They called for it, and it feels like this has been airbrushed from history, because now it feels like the same people who called for it are the people who are moaning about it.
Are you saying VAR means VAR?
It does. It does.
It's a bit, it is a bit like, be careful what you wish for, isn't it?
Yeah. Feels like
it's a bit Brexit. VAR is not a cause of Brexit, it's a symptom. I would say
VAR's not the problem here. It's the rules, which clearly changed when VAR tightened up. You could argue
they changed to accommodate VAR.
Yeah.
That's the issue. And another thing that's been airbrushed out of history, and I'm going to stick up for refereeing here.
Yeah,
is because we knew going into this that referees and assistant referees get somewhere north of 90% of all their decisions correct. Anyway,
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, well, apparently people weren't, Mark.
Now I'm bloody over the moon with
it. We've been unequivocal, I think, on this show of not being particularly positive on VAR. The silent minority, Jim Campbell, was for VAR, but he has been away for a little while.
Oh, so convenient.
Maybe when he gets
back. Very convenient.
Yeah.
He'll be moving abroad after the 31st of October as well.
Yeah. But so
it's awful. It's just awful.
And as much as Pete hates to think about it like this, we are part of the football commentariat, and it feels like it's all we talk about. The headline story of like all the big games. It feels at the moment as if it's just VAR.
Should we talk about Jesus is finished? What a lovely one into the corner.
Yeah.
Or is that just a bit
great presence of mind?
What a nice finish.
Yeah. As you said, Luke, we're going to get plenty of chances.
Yeah.
And I do understand people saying, but it's not VAR's fault, it's the rule, blah, 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 blah. I'm aware. I think we're all aware of what this is and all the rest of it, and we think it's all rubbish.
Mm.
And if we could go back to what it was or change, I don't know.
Well, Kevin De Bruyne's come out and said he doesn't understand it. Another interesting aspect of this, and I know there are different sort of refereeing kind of instructions, but this to me is an example of what you mentioned, Marcus, earlier about this idea that the laws have been changed slightly to help better accommodate VAR, to make it clearer, because the deliberate use of the word deliberate in the law is kind of difficult. But it currently says, and I've got it here and I've stuck it in the running order so you guys can see it, if a player handling the ball, it is an offence if a player gains possession or control of the ball after it has touched their hand or arm and then scores on the opponent's goal or creates a goal scoring opportunity. Well, that didn't happen. It hit another player's arm and it fell to another player who then scored. So I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying they didn't apply the law properly. I'm sure they did. But even in the writing of it, it's still open to interpretation to such an extent that it's almost you are trying to ascribe a black or white clear decision to something that isn't clear. And also, the referee didn't even look at it. It was given in his ear by someone at Stockley Park. So the referee's not even having the final decision on the game anyway now. So there's a lot to unpick there.
Stockley Park's becoming like Area 51 or something, isn't
they're
it?
They're going to storm it. Storm it for the memes.
Storm it.
What is actually going
on there?
Steal
their tellies.
They're using UFO technology for this.
Yeah, they are. It's drone refereeing. But anyway, it's a disgrace.
On the game itself, Manchester City had 30 shots.
Manchester City should have won the game in both senses, in terms of the fact that they sort of did, and that was taken away. We've talked about that. Should have won the game, really. They'll be disappointed with themselves. And from Spurs' point of view, what a great point.
Mm. Yes.
Sergio Aguero, the reason why he was unhappy with Pep Guardiola is he thought Pep Guardiola was having a go at him for the second Spurs goal, for Moura's equaliser, for some reason. And Guardiola said they sorted it out, and then reiterated that Aguero is a guy that I love a lot. He always says that. He's just so gushing with the
phrase. A lot of Hispanic managers also say they're in a good moment.
Is that right?
Oh. He is in a good moment.
I like where they just put their heads together in a really lovely way and just give it, have a little pep talk, a literal pep talk.
Like
just,
Gamora.
Yeah.
Really close.
Did Pepe Mel often say he was having a lovely moment?
No, sometimes when they, it's like a pre-match interview thing.
Yeah.
I'm the Spanish manager and you say, oh, how are you looking forward to playing Spurs today? Mm-hmm. And if Spurs are in like good form, he'll say,
oh, we're in a good
they're
moment.
In a good moment.
Oh, I see.
For some reason, they always say it in a good moment.
Oh, right.
But that's probably not a major point to make. It's just something that struck me.
Let's talk about Gamora. in Gamora, they've got their faces really close to each other when they act.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Italians love their coffee. They must be like slamming back the clarets.
Oh, the amount of chewing gum on set will be unreal.
Huge, huge. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you haven't watched Gamora,
there's nothing
an awful lot of spoilers there.
What did you make of Edison's positioning for that Aguero goal?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Didn't go in the corner, did it?
It was really easy. Lamella goal.
Lamella goal, sorry, what did I say? Aguero goal, sorry.
It was a bizarre side footed to the net. It was like, what?
He got it wrong
there. Really weird.
He got his positioning a little bit wrong. Fair play to Lamella, though, for spotting the gap.
Yep.
Lamella thought to himself, I don't even have to put this into the corner.
For the first goal, De Bruyne's body shape after he whips that in is just beautiful. If you ever want to, like, don't even bother watching like instructional tips.
Yes.
Never watch like the football freestylers. Uh-huh. Watch that body shape of him as he swings that in. Yeah. It is perfect.
De Bruyne
is a manual.
Indeed. He was obviously a little bit injured last season and he's come back. And De Bruyne was sometimes deployed in a deep line playmaker position, wasn't
deployed.
He?
Deployed.
Deployed. Yeah. Deployed. Yeah, absolutely. And Fernandinho, of course, is, what is he, 33, 34? You know, and it's obviously in the twilight of his career, and especially for a team that demands a lot from you. I mean, he's a phenomenal player and has been fantastic for that club. So De Bruyne's played there, but now De Bruyne's been freed up a little bit from Rodri.
Plays on the right now.
Yeah, in that sort of, that quite a popular midfield dynamic these days. I think because you play one deep line midfielder who can go and help the centre halves if you're trying to play the ball at the back. And then you have the two sort of shuttlers who can do their thing. And De Bruyne is in there. So it's like he's been freed up. And this season, it's almost, in my mind, I look at him, even though we've only had a couple of games, and the way he's playing, it's like,
night and day,
I'm winning everything. I'm winning all the personal accolades this season and my team will win the leagues and everything. He just looks like that he's almost aware and reveling in it that he's one of the best players in the world. He's absolutely phenomenal. As you say, the ball into Sterling, lovely finish from Sterling as well, we have to say. But amazingly, they didn't win the game. Lucas Moura, the joker in the pack.
He did enjoy his goal.
He did, and so he should do. First touch coming on.
But he rose like a salmon.
He puts the willies up Man City, doesn't he?
Seems to. He certainly seems to. The biggest clear and obvious error on that game in terms of the refereeing decision was the non-penalty involving Rodri. Mm. The kind of decision that would have given...
Don't worry about that.
If that was on Harry Kane in the World Cup last year... We'd have got a penalty for that, wouldn't
we? We'd have been
right at home.
Yeah, we would have been. Yeah.
Well, Man City fans, like other fans of top clubs, think that there's sort of some conspiracy going against them. That wouldn't have helped, would it?
No. But I mean, you're right to point out De Bruyne, 3 assists already in the Premier League, and it's roughly mirrored on the other side with Lamella for Spurs, who's come back with a goal and an assist, and he found it very difficult to stay fit last season. He's been playing in a playmaking role for Spurs, or he was against Man City, and he played well. Both those teams might, if luck's on their side, have an important player coming back and making more of a contribution this season.
Very much so. Shall we move on to Norwich Newcastle?
All right,
Peter. Okay. I'm surprised you haven't started vetoing this.
What, like
on the running order.
Newcastle shirt? Yeah,
we've got a shared running order. You can contribute to. You can just keep
just
deleting
it.
I enjoyed Daniel Fark. Daniel Farker.
Yeah, can you do an impression of him? He's a very soft-spoken German.
He's a beautiful voice.
He's got a voice like Hare Lip from League of Gentlemen.
he's sort of taken out where we lack in Claude Puel. We've made up with it with Daniel Farker.
He's much softer than Klopp.
Oh, yeah. Well, is Farker from Germany as well? Hasenhüttl is from Austria. He said, I'm not just addicted to results. There's got to be some sort of addicted to love kind
of thing. He's got a very camp sort of way about him.
He does, I just want my players to concentrate on the topics.
On the topics?
He keeps going on about the topics. We were pretty good on many topics today. Some sort of quiz going on. Without doubt, we deserve to win. Contrast that with Steve Bruce. We were simply disappointing.
Simply irresistible.
Yeah.
It was an interesting performance from the Newcastle backline. I think it's fair to say
very charitable.
It was interesting because I think Norwich were amazing at times. I thought Norwich played so well. Some of their interplay was
promoted
amazing,
side.
Promoted side
into the Premier League. Uh-huh.
Was there a particularly standout individual in that Norwich side?
No, there was Pookie who obviously put.
You remember
put
him?
Three
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
I remember him and missed one, I think. But like last season, like Rafa obviously played with a three or a five, depending on how you look at it. But Steve Bruce. He's always been called, let's say, pragmatic.
Yes.
I'm going to use different words his kind of managerial style. Shite. And, but it freed him, like Rafa's sort of style, freed Shaw up to go on those like runs. And obviously, like, you know, Yedlin's is a big miss because he's got a bit of pace on him. So the right-hand side's a little bit weaker.
We've got a few injuries.
They have strengthened it right back for that reason. But the defenders just look confused whether to go or stay. Yeah. It was just a real messy performance. And that, for me, is the hallmark of a Steve Bruce defensive, if I'm really honest.
Well, if you go from Rafa Benitez to Steve Bruce, Rafa, we know that old adage of when you look at a certain manager, you say, a bit like with Sam Allardyce, a Sam Allardyce team won't go down.
Yes.
And I was saying this to a Crystal Palace supporting friend of mine. I don't think a Roy Hodgson side will go down.
Mm.
Perhaps not as a compelling argument as a Rafa Benitez side, I grant you.
Yeah.
But with Rafa Benitez, you know, Newcastle were never going to go down under him because the system was so strong. Players knew what they were doing, blah-de-blah. If you change that with Steve Bruce, now often when you have a different manager come in, it can take quite a while. And you think, well, once they've got it. But as you say, Pete, once they've got what? This is the trouble. You know, Bruce has had sort of moderate success. You know, he's not complete rubbish.
I mean, his Premier League record is abysmal.
Sure.
Let's make that very clear.
No, but
and most of like the chatter around Steve Bruce going, he's a good manager, he's a strong manager.
He's a good footballing man.
He's brought teams up into the Premier League. He finished 11th, blah, 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 you know. And it's like his win ratio is actually pretty dreadful.
Yeah.
For four managers who've managed over 250 games in the Premier League.
Well, answer me this then, Peter. Last season, first day of the season, Jonjo Shelvey sent off. Is that right?
Well, she's been sent off in this match.
Right. This time round, under Brucey, not the first game of the season, but early on, scores.
He does. But I mean, there's a reason why, on a serious point, there's a reason why Rafa didn't trust Jonjo Shelvey.
No,
and it's
course.
Just work rate. He doesn't defend. He just thinks that's above him.
Of course.
Sorry, he thinks it's beneath him, rather. And he didn't do any of that in this match, and he was pretty dreadful,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, with Newcastle under Benitez, we talked about it all the time when he was there. It was like he was getting an extra 10% out of the players he's got.
At least.
Yeah, and Steve Bruce isn't going to be able to do that. I mean, it's clear he's not going to be able to do that.
He benched Sean Longstaff, and a lot of the fans had a bit of trouble with that. And you know, a 3-0 down, I think he comes on, Sean, and he's running at the keeper. And it's like, and he's the only one doing shuttle runs like towards the keeper to try and gain possession. And it's
you can't press on your own.
He's a midfielder, you know.
Yeah.
It was a really disappointing toothless performance in Newcastle, but take nothing away from Norwich. They were incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible to me how, I mean, I don't want to come across all Graham Souness, but it doesn't really matter what formation you're going to play.
Paul Pogba.
If you're going to have Paul Pogba in the same in the same country as you, you know. No, if you don't, you alluded to it there with the lack of intensity. A second to every ball. I mean, they looked like the promoted side away from home.
Punched
them.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, and Norwich dominated the ball, dominated possession, had a lot of high energy. Pookie's obviously in a good moment.
Yes.
He's in great form, and he took his goals well. And he had another chance, didn't he? Did you mention that?
He could have had more.
Yeah, it was very, very disappointing.
There was a couple of chances for Newcastle, and the blazed
Joel
at the top.
Well.
Joel Linton blazed it wide.
Yeah.
And, it's Steve McLaren 2.0 for me.
Yeah.
This whole thing. I'm genuinely thinking Bruce won't make Christmas with his sort of performances.
We spoke about Norwich after they lost to Liverpool, of course. And we said, well, those games, especially in the opening day, you can't judge a newly promoted side on that. Going to Anfield and losing 4-1, flipper neck, Arsenal, Everton, they could do that this season quite happily, I'm sure. They won't thank me for saying that. But we said these are the games where the newly promoted sides get judged on. Home games against sides who can be got at.
Yeah.
And Norwich were brilliant. And
yeah.
And Timo Pukki, what a story he's had. He's 29. He joined Norwich last summer when they were going into the Championship because he was released from, was it Bromby?
In
Denmark.
He had a pretty good scoring record for them as well.
He did all right at Bromby. I think he joined Bromby maybe after Celtic.
He didn't do much at Celtic, really.
No, he didn't do as well as he would have wanted.
Bits
so he joined
pieces,
Bromby,
yeah.
But he played for Bromby for 4 or 5 years, I think. So he would have been 24, roughly, around that age when he joined them. So still quite young. So he played until he was 29. Now, you could argue that maybe his best years are behind him, or maybe slightly ahead, depending on in the modern game and all that, and the demands of it.
leaves Bromby because they didn't agree a deal, so he's released on a free. Mm. Norwich go, oh, thanks, we'll have him.
Yeah.
Is it first season at Norwich, Championship Player of the Season. Yeah. Was he top scorer as well? Norwich Player of the Season, of course, as well. Marches into the Prem with his new side. Two games in, he scored four goals, and he's 20. No, I mean, it's absolutely
Grant Holt-esque.
But it's remarkable. What
he got,
a story!
He got 30 league goals in the Championship last season.
What a story!
Oh, 29, I think. 29.
Absolutely
yeah.
fabulous. Mm.
Yeah, amazing.
There's hope for some youngsters yet.
And he looks a brilliant finisher. Just a brilliant finisher.
That volley.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We
yeah.
want an early volley in the season, don't we? In the Premier League, and my goodness, we got
on the Newcastle side of the ledger. Though you look at that first 11 they played. I know Longstaff's got a bit about him.
Why are you dragging us back to Newcastle?
Well, because you've got to take your opportunities when you can. You just don't see players in that team that are going to rescue, that are going to do the business. They're not going to grab it by the scruff of the neck and say, "This is what we're going to go forward here." I mean, all the signings they've made, pretty much over recent years, there's been a question mark over them, and the ones that have done the best have kind of left. Mm. You know, so it's a very, very difficult situation. It could be a very long season. I don't know if I'm being a bit old-fashioned, but I don't know why he doesn't just play like a flat 4-4-2.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Burnley, I mean, just play it to your strengths, or just play it. Just keep it nice and simple, and then you can't complain about the system. You can't complain about defenders not knowing where they are because everyone plays 4-4-2.
Because you wouldn't say that. I know they. I don't mean this as a disservice, and some of their players are in great form, and Sean Dyche did an amazing job. But you wouldn't say that Burnley have far and away better players than Newcastle. They just all know their job. They play with intensity. They work really hard, and they know what's expected of them, right?
Well, I get the feeling that it's going to come to a situation where they're going to ruin Joel Linton because they're going to play him as a lone striker, and they're just waiting for Andy Carroll to get fit.
Well,
so
I did wonder
the system. You know what I mean?
You know, Carroll flick-ons and all that. I mean, joking aside, Carroll's a decent operator, but the problem is with the injuries, you can't rely on him. If you could get rid of the injuries, you'd have a forward there. But I just want to mention about Norwich. Because we haven't spoken that much about them, and they won the game handsomely. I just think, you know, what a learning curve for Farker and his side. Go away, you learn that lesson, but then hang on a minute, play against a side who are there for the taking, arguably. The system works. So two very differing performances, very differing approaches that he may take, because if they try that approach going to places like Anfield or the Etihad and so on, you'd imagine, and goal difference comes into it, you'd imagine that might not be the best approach, but for the home games or certain away games and so on.
But I think they are going to play that, Marcus. I think we talked about it over the last week or so.
But I hope that's not their undoing.
Because
promoted sides, they've looked the most likely. So, well, I don't know.
It becomes a psychological question of how well they can deal with and put behind them the issue of getting beaten heavily when they play in that style.
Yeah.
Jules Nanny talked about it last week, or the week before, I think it was last week, on this idea that these teams are not going to change. They're going to play to their strengths, and they're just going to hopefully psychologically buffer themselves against these big results that they come when they're on the wrong end of them.
Well, the newly promoted side, who probably have the least amount said about their style and all that kind of stuff thus far, is Aston Villa, and they lost again. They were beaten by Bournemouth at home, which will be a frustrating one for Villa fans, because you think to yourself, you know, there's a chance to get at least a point or points on the board.
Yes.
After going away to Spurs, you know, fair enough. That's a bit of a gimme. But Tom Heaton, a very experienced player, England's number two, maybe number three. We'll talk about Nick Pope in a bit. Giving away such a silly penalty early on.
Yeah.
That is the last thing you need. And Heaton knows. You know, as I've said before, he's a lovely lad. He is a lovely lad.
It was after about a minute, wasn't it?
I think 41 seconds, to be precise.
Yeah.
And Bournemouth said, thanks very much. And then Douglas Luiz, who scored an early contender for goal of the season.
A beauty.
Much like Pookie. He made an error for Bournemouth's second goal. And again, someone like Douglas Luiz, he's brought up and played in Brazil. He's been around the Man City Academy, I think, doing a dummy about 30 yards out from your own goal, expecting Jack Grealish to kind of pick that up against an experienced Premier League side. Ease yourself in.
Is it sloppy?
But then I suppose the way he took that goal, he's thinking, I don't need to ease myself in at all. This is what you're going to get me this season.
Dragbacks.
And then the coach will say, and again, it was a 2-1 defeat. You are not going to be successful for us if you're scoring the odd goal in a 2-1 defeat every week, because we are going to have 0 points.
Oh, but it kissed the bar on its way in.
It was a beauty. It was an absolute beauty. You know, and it's funny because he played on loan at Girona and didn't score a single league goal for them.
Yeah.
I don't know if he scored for them at all.
Yeah,
he gets one.
I think he stayed a little bit longer at Girona because he couldn't get a work permit here.
Oh, is that right?
I think so, because he was there for two seasons, I think, maybe.
Okay.
But he's back now with with aplomb, I suppose, in some
I feel a bit sorry for Bournemouth, because I think they're a team that everyone who plays them thinks, right, we can beat
them. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because you never know really what you're going to get. And then when you lose them, particularly at home, you probably feel more disappointed than you would.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know what you mean, Bournemouth, though.
When you come off the pitch losing at home to Bournemouth, you are like the living embodiment of that internet meme. I can't believe you've done this.
Yeah. But I think because Bournemouth, this is the greatest time in the history of the club. Since Howe took them up, it's the first time they've been in the top flight. And I think people just still haven't quite adjusted. If you look at other sides, even Sheffield United coming up, we remember them in the Premier League. Mm. We remember them with certain, you know, Phil Jagielka when he first played there, and obviously had a little cameo on the weekend. And Villa, of course, are a huge side coming back up. Norwich, we remember, or are aware that they beat Bayern Munich once upon a time, blah, 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 blah. Bournemouth don't have that history, so I think people still think, oh, little Bournemouth, you know. But they're creating their own history at the moment, which is amazing.
And they've got, I mean, Man City at home next in the Premier League, I think. But that aside, they've got quite a nice opening to the season, Bournemouth, so it's important to rack some points up.
Yeah, Harry Wilson's been having a lovely old time there. Scored via deflection, but he can hit them. Mm. He can hit them. How about this? Since the start of last season, he scored 10 goals from outside the box in all competitions. I don't know if that includes pre-season friendlies, because we remember that one he scored for Liverpool. But that is more than any other player in English football.
In which case, he literally can hit them, and they are the facts to back it up. But
Douglas Luiz will not be outdone, though.
Have you noticed the trend? Pete, you would have noticed this. The trend on particularly on social media, to call everything in football that happens that's nice a, quote, touch of class.
A touch of class. Yeah. Right, okay.
Classy gesture.
A touch of cloth.
Yeah. Clapping hands emoji. Yeah.
He thought about punching him in the face, but he then refrained and put his fist down, and it was a touch of class.
Yeah, it's literally like that. Yeah. And a couple of outlets today were tweeting that when Harry Wilson scored his goal, he's told everyone that Jurgen Klopp sent him a text saying, well done. And people reporting it saying, a touch of class. It's like, what? He is the manager of the player. I mean, presumably, he is going to text him.
What a touch of class.
Yeah.
People's standards are very, very low these days.
Yeah.
Because we've been dragged down by certain individuals.
Pete chiefly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could I'll be. Back in front of Jack Grealish.
Have you consciously tried to drag everything down? Or
yes.
Have you just done it
subtly?
Okay, yeah. Fine.
2019, mate. Yeah.
2019. Jack Grealish, though. 20 consecutive Premier League games he's lost. We want that man to win one at least. Not because he's got a Pete Donaldson hairdo, because he's a bloody fine player. All right. Great. That's
you
out
got
the way.
Adbrick. Do the sign for Adbrick, then wear on for a 30 seconds
about Jack Grealish.
And now we'll have a break.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Over to Luke Moore.
Don't forget Ramble Live, ramblelive.com. We are coming to a town near you. It's going to be fun. Tickets are selling fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Although not quickly as we'd like, so that's why I'm doing this. No, they are selling well, so it's more of a reminder to get you to get your tickets to avoid disappointment. You can expect lots of fun things. Pete's working on the set pieces, the musical numbers, all that kind of stuff
Jim's
as we speak.
Working out.
Jim's going to do one of those old-fashioned like end of the pier 1920s weightlifting things.
Yeah,
with those barbells.
Yeah. Well, dressed as half woman, half man, so he turns one side and it's like, oh, lady gym, and then it's man gym again.
Yeah, so ramblelive.com for that.
And then he's going to cook some healthy meals like Joe Wicks.
Yeah. Did you see Joe Wicks?
Wednesday Dale.
Oh, so good.
What was that?
Joe Wicks did a little video.
Yeah.
So people listening from outside of the UK, will they know who he is?
He's a little muscly boy who cooks food for people.
He's got good hair.
That's his Twitter bio. You're reading that out? Yeah. He's like a lifestyle guy. Mm. And he does quick little Instagram videos, 15-minute meals, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, yesterday he put a video on where he was doing, hi guys, I'm just having a lazy day today, so all I'm going to do is I'm just going to eat cheese. And he's filming the cheese, and he's got three pieces of cheese there, and he goes, and is the cheddar, and puts his like knife into it, is the brie, and is the Wednesday Dale.
Wednesday Dale.
Dale.
He knows what that's called.
He's taking a piss.
But I don't know how he
is. Yes, of course he knows.
Anyway, this started out as a plug for our live shows.
Yeah.
So ramblelive.com, come and see us live. It's going to be lots of fun. There'll be a show, I'm sure, at a town near you. We're going all over of England, pretty much, and then the US and then Europe. So check it out.
Yeah, and we're going to be eating plenty of Wednesday Daily.
Wednesday Daily. Tony Daly.
Eat clean, train dirty with the Football Ramble at ramblelive.com.
Yeah.
The Football Ramble Wednesday Daily.
What about the Betway 4 to school results from Friday? Show guys,
SpaghettiOs.
I feel like we have. I mean, we've got a Newcastle-esque start to this season. The week before last weekend, we didn't get any.
Nah.
Game one over the weekend, you went for Sebastien Haller.
Yeah, he let us all down
for first goal scorer. It didn't happen. Pete, you kind of fairly went for Kevin De Bruyne.
Can I trade the one goal for two assists?
He's focusing on his assists this season.
Uh-huh.
Jim went for Luka Milivojevic, and he's not even turned up to front up. and I went for Jamie Vardy. None of them came in.
No.
It was 0 out of 4. But if you want to play, get over to betway.com/4 to score. Have your say for a chance to win up to 250 grand. And it's free to play.
And now it's time for emails with that guy, PDD.
If you keep pointing at me, I'm going to smack you. Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. I mean, you don't have to email about the email jingle, but there are a lot of emails about the email
jingle. It's the email jingle that's divided the nation.
Exactly. Darby from New York.
Divide the world.
Confusing.
Wow. Yeah.
Ramaphosa Hall, not had one of those for a while. Wow. I'm reinstigating the Ramaphosa Hall. Who will be appearing at that now?
I was going to say, you might have to explain that.
So, like a lot of other listeners, I've been singing the new email song out loud around the house, and finally this week my wife asked me what it was. I told her the story of how Pete bought it, and she's a professional singer-songwriter. I thought that I'd share with you that her opinion is that Pete got a really good deal, most of the time custom songs with a recorded version. Would easily be double or triple the £200 he paid.
I mean, that's mental.
So you are
600 quid for that? Out of her mind.
So you are the
she's trying to run the price up because it's her trade. It's so like a plumber coming to your house and sucking through his teeth.
So you can lay off Pete for this one, because unlike in the two pianos incident, it was quite the thrifty choice. I agree, Darby. Thank you for that. Hello, gents. My wife has threatened divorce if I don't stop singing the new jingle. There are plenty.
Is that
more
from Derby as well?
This is more, this is more believable.
This is from Benjamin. There are plenty more fish, though, and the jingle must live on.
Plenty more fish.
Yeah. And he's bang up for the live shows. Important insider info regarding the 2019-20 English Premier League season. This is from Justin Griffith. If Ben, me, and João Mario adopted Issa Diop, his name would be Issa Mia Mario. Thank you for that, Justin. Wonderful. If you would like to get in touch with the show, the email is, of course, show@footballrambledaily.com. You email show@footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. And if you are thinking about getting in a dispute with your partner or significant other over that email jingle, do do go along with what that emailer earlier said. There are plenty of women and men in the world.
Exactly.
It's very hard to, that kind of jingle only comes along once in a generation.
Exactly. So why restrict yourself to one person when you can enjoy two variations of the same email jingle?
Quite. No complaints from me on that front.
It's very true indeed. Let's go and talk about Arsenal beating Burnley 2-1. It's a good win for the Gunners. Arsenal fans seem excited this season. They certainly did in the stadium.
They're never in the middle, are they, Arsenal fans? They're never, we'll just see how it goes. You don't really get that from Arsenal fans, do you?
I know what you mean. But I think they should be excited.
Green shoots.
I think everyone should always be excited.
Do you think so?
Because football is an exciting thing.
Everyone should always be excited.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think, was Mike Dean in charge of this one?
He was, yeah.
See, now that's what I don't like about VAR. I was at the game and I had to think, was Mike Dean in charge?
Yeah.
They are overshadowing the true entertainment of the game.
You were at the game with cameraman Sam.
Cameraman Sam.
And how was it from the stadium?
Lovely, lovely time. With a very excited, eccentric man sat next to us who, when Arsenal, and there's playing it out from the back, and then there's David Luiz playing it out from the back.
Right.
And there was one moment where he passed it across the face of his goal and the ball moved about a yard away from the goal line across the face and a whole stadium,
David.
You know, it was shivers.
English people will never get used to that.
No.
There's generations that's and hardwired.
And nor should they. But this guy,
resistant.
Well, actually, but this guy's the exception to the rule. When they were knocking it around, he's like, "Oh, lovely stuff! Oh, yes!"
He was having
a good time.
Oh, take that all day.
I may go into it a little bit more on this week's Speller Time vlog for those Patreon lucky people. Mm. But yes, Luiz started, of course, and one thing that actually David Luiz will bring to the Arsenal, his long range passing. Yes. Superb.
Well, we talked about that last week. It's something that Emery kind of wants to use, isn't
absolutely
it?
Right. And all this plan out from the back nonsense. Come on, get the long balls back. But that was deployed a little bit, so I think that was something that they could get behind. But Danny Ceballos got the pace. Danny Ceballos, what a performance on his home.
Every time he got the ball, it just seemed like the start of Evanescence's "Bring Me to Life" or whatever started playing in my ear. I can't wake up, wake me up, and I can't wake up, wake me up, and save me.
The old YouTube highlights.
It's a classic YouTube highlights.
Wake me up,
wake me.
Yeah. Let's just keep doing
just
that.
Go around.
He was. Well, I'll put you to sleep if you go around like that.
Is he the player that? What's Mesut Ozil's opinion of this? Is he watching from home?
Mesut Ozil, take the season off, mate.
Yeah,
take it off.
But only the season, because Ceballos is on loan and famously not available for permanent transfer. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, this is the thing with Arsenal. They, I'm sure, at the end of the season, they will probably want to capture his signature. You always capture signatures, don't you? As if they're sort of running in the wild. But Danny Ceballos, not only has he got a touch of class on the ball, and he's got all that kind of stuff, he's got a bit of bite and
yes,
fight.
Yes, exactly.
And he's the type of player. Now, whether you go into that or not, but I think there is something fans like to see when you can quite obviously see a player
hungry.
Grappling in hungry, exactly. And he's got all that. And you know, for a guy who's, what is it, Real Madrid, you know, to come over for a loan spell, is he just kind of keep fit, you know, go through the motions, get a bit of football.
See a bit of London.
See a bit of London, see a bit of the sights, and then go home. Well, I tell you what a start to his Arsenal career. So that's very exciting indeed.
He was excellent. I mean, he appeared to buzz all over the place, full of energy. And the reason that's that point you've made there, Marcus, which I think is a good one, but the reason it's important as well, I think, is because it lifts the whole team and the whole crowd.
Totally.
And if people can get behind it, people are frustrated by a player in the shape of Ozil who is capable of these amazing bits of inspiration, but they only come along like, you know, London buses, you know, two at a time every, you know, 40 minutes or whatever. Well, that's not actually true about London buses. They're quite regular. But but you understand the point I'm making, where someone like Ceballos, if he's got that bite and that energy about him, even if it's not going well for him or Arsenal aren't dominating possession, obviously they would do against Burnley, but they won't against everyone. There's still something to hang your hat on there, right?
Yeah.
So it's a player that seems to fit in. And I think if they get the balance right, and if Luiz at the back can form a sort of defensive partnership with someone.
I think he might be able to.
And they've got fairly decent options at the base of midfield. Now with Torreira, Xhaka, Guendouzi, I think Willock played there, didn't he, against Burnley. And they've got a fantastic forward line.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, you can talk yourself into a bit of excitement around Arsenal this season.
I tell you what, I can understand the excitement there. It's a rather trite thing to say, but it is lovely seeing David Luiz and Guendouzi near each other on the pitch. Absolutely lovely.
And Ashley Barnes got his goal as well. Ashley Barnes, he's having a great start to the season.
Oh, big Barnes. You can't keep a good man down.
I've drafted him into Nile Ranger things. My fantasy football side.
I thought I had De Bruyne in my team, but I didn't.
So it's Kane last week and De Bruyne this week.
Do you get someone else to pick it?
Yes, I do.
You're just the manager. You're not the coach.
I had two Crystal Palace midfielders in there.
An endless run of players who do really well that Pete thinks he signed, but he hasn't.
Indeed.
The boys did as well.
You are literally like Arsene Wenger years after.
Do you remember you mentioned David Luiz's Twitter profile, Enjoy the Life?
Oh, yes.
The last time around. Well, I did quite like this because he was talking about joining Arsenal, of course, because him and Frank Lampard, he spoke and said Lampard just had other ideas and that's why he left. He said, I decided to get on this new journey, a new home where I'll do everything to shine as well.
Nice.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Nice to say, yeah.
Just to shine, isn't he? And he's going the right way about it, I think. But yes, exciting times for those Arsenals. And let's go to the Championship, eh? Huddersfield, they've sacked Jan Sievert, which... not too surprising. He was on hiding to nothing there, really. Mm. Although you would...
He wasn't on hiding to nothing, but a 5% win percentage does speak for itself.
And they have been in the Championship now for at least two or three games.
I saw the game against Fulham, and they were... I mean, I know they only went down 2-1, but the organisation, particularly its set pieces, was scandalously bad. And it cut a figure that didn't really seem to have any authority at all.
But Mitrovic's goal, I know Mitro can hang in the air, and that was a great example.
Cavalera's was a beauty as well.
Yeah, it was a lovely goal, yeah. But Mitrovic's goal, there's no way from a defensive point of view that should be going in.
No.
But then it is big Mitro.
But they also...
Did you see Mitro simulating with his, trying to get the hand move towards his head and pretended that he'd been... like elbowed when he hadn't.
Naughty sausage. But they I know Fulham are a good team and they'll do well this season, I'm sure, but Huddersfield were distinctly second best. Fulham dominated the ball and had loads more chances. Mm-hmm. It probably could and should have been more. I think it was the straw that broke the camel's back, really, for Huddersfield.
Thing is, Huddersfield Town, that's a job for Steve Bruce, is it not?
Possibly.
That's the thing.
Because he's all right at Championship level.
You can't have any sympathy for Steve Bruce, though, as much as a lovely man as he is, because he's already admitted by his own tongue that he selfishly left Sheffield Wednesday and left to go to Newcastle. So he gets everything that comes his way, he's going to have to fucking swallow, isn't he?
I don't know.
He'll be at Huddersfield by January.
It's a shame for Huddersfield, because and this is, so be careful what you wish for. I've no doubt, I don't think Huddersfield would change their Premier League jaunt. Because it was incredibly exciting, and obviously they did stay up for the first season. Mm. But now you worry about them because you don't want them to be in free fall. Because they've come down, they were dreadful last season in the Premier League. They've now sacked the manager. Mm. And you think, the last thing they want now is to be fighting relegation.
When they pull the trigger this early, you always get a lot of fans sort of saying, oh, this is a terrible idea. You know, you've got that pre-season on your belt and then you're just doing this really early. This is the right time to do it. Yeah. And I haven't heard that many people.
They're winning one in every 20 games.
Yeah. And how many games in the championship? Yeah, it's not enough, is it?
There's some games this week, actually, midweek, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then again at the weekend. So it's another key week in the championship, as it always seems to be. So,
oh, big time.
Yes, I feel sad for Huddersfield fans because they're in that situation with David Wagner where even if they were relegated under Wagner, he probably wouldn't have lost his job. In fact, I think he definitely wouldn't have. Yeah, it came from him. He wanted to leave and that kind of... That's what set this whole thing in motion.
Indeed, yeah.
And then they couldn't even get Jan Sievert's face right before he got the job. Remember when someone went into the crowd, tried to interview someone, it was just a fan.
That wasn't Huddersfield, though.
Yeah, it was.
Was it not Sky Sports?
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, it was Sky Sports. Yeah.
Well, anyway, whoever it was, it was the wrong
Listen,
man.
If the guy who's managing your club is so unrecognisable that he is mistaken by the country's...
He's younger than us. Isn't that ridiculous? He's 37, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Cool.
He's younger than us as well.
I think Houghton's in the frame for Huddersfield.
Ah,
you'd love to see it.
I'd like to see it.
Another blue and white team.
He can get teams up.
He can tighten up defences.
Yeah.
He can erect teams.
He can get teams up.
And keep them solid.
Brighton never went down in the Premier League under him.
No.
They didn't.
They almost did.
Well, they didn't though, did they? Yeah, no, they didn't. No. Didn't they? No. They're still in the league, aren't they, Peter?
Are you living in that fantasy football alternative reality?
I don't know why Marcus is picking on me. Getting really excited.
I don't care if we won 3-2. We went 2-0 down.
Yeah, that was you all over, Dawson. Yeah.
Leeds are top of the league, though. Here they come again.
They're my pick. They're my pick for the championship.
They're your pick for the championship. You want to do that?
You want to do that
to yourself in the podcast?
And to the people of Leeds.
You want to hang us out to dry in the people of Leeds?
Yeah. There's loads of Leeds United fans listening now. Just go, for fuck's sake.
Turn
off. Bamford's got his scoring boots on, though.
They beat 10-man Wigan, didn't they?
They did. Mm. Didn't they bugger it up against Wigan last year at Elland Road? Was it 10-man Wigan or something? They came back and then Leeds went into the playoffs. And
I mean, shout out to Wigan's Joe Williams, who was able to pick up two yellow cards inside 20 minutes of the game.
He did very well there.
Very, very good.
Oh, we didn't mention Billing for Bournemouth as well.
Well, he's a
lucky boy.
But he was also Huddersfield's best player, in my opinion. So that's part of the reason their problems have been confounded.
Yeah.
Another shout on the old Twitters from our listeners was Reading, who beat Cardiff.
Oh yes,
3-0. Yeah. And they did it.
There were some names in there
with a team containing Pele, Puskás, and Moore.
Well, the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, exactly.
And Stallone in goal. Well, let's go down to into the lower depths of
the football leagues. Let's plunge the depths.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, good win
for Sunderland against Pompey.
Yeah, less said about that, the better.
Not a great start, have they?
Pompey went a goal up. Pumps. They've lost two now.
So that doesn't count for Sunderland.
Yeah, exactly. In Peach World, doesn't count. down in Swindon in League Two, Richie Wellens, who's the manager of the Robins, one of the quotes of the season so far. Did you guys see this?
No.
Swindon scored an 88th minute equaliser at Exeter in League Two, and in one of the flash interviews afterwards, someone said to him, "How excited were you or whatever when your team scored?" Richie went and said, "I didn't know which team had scored it because I was having a piss."
Was that not the first goal?
I think it was the 88th minute equaliser.
I thought he talked about it that the first goal went in, and he heard a load of noise and the away fans are above the loos or something.
Oh,
like
okay.
That. And he thought, oh, we've scored, and came back out. But it was the Swindon fans who were still singing their team's name. So he was actually sort of pleased but disappointed.
Well, regardless of that, right, have a piss before the game. You're working. For that 90 minutes, you're working.
Was it DeMarcus Beasley who sort of knelt down and did got it, his
yeah,
old chap
a,
out?
Yeah, there's a few.
I think Big Jens did one.
Jens did one behind the hoardings.
Oh, he did, yeah. I don't know if a manager did that. Also. He's not wearing shorts.
Also, shat on pitch. Shat on pitch.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Gary.
Yeah.
Come on.
Pitch,
I was doing a piss.
Come on.
I was doing a pissing.
Is that Daniel Farker?
Behind the hodding, I did a little tinkle.
That's Farker. That's a good Daniel Farker, that.
I did a little tinkle.
He's got that kind of thing at the end. I did a little tinkle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You did not see it, so I was wearing an adult nappy.
I tinkled on all the topics.
Don't tinkle on my topic. Did you see the? We've been said this a million times over the weekend, but it was, every time I look at it, I think, should we read out on the show? Yes, we should read out on the show. The Alan Pardew, the private life of Alan Pardew when he's playing for Dulwich Hamlets in 1985. They did a little kind of interview, presumably for a fanzine or a programme.
Is it from 85?
I think it's
because that makes him 24, still playing at Dulwich Hamlet.
Can you imagine a 24-year-old Pardew?
Oh, yeah. Mate.
If you think he's cocksure now.
Lock up all the human beings.
Full name. So it's a little kind of like, what would you do in different situations?
It's called The Private Life of Alan Pardew.
Alan Scott Pardew. Married? No. favorite article of clothing? Knickers.
He's answered that.
He's
knickers.
Such a ladies' man, this bloke.
Yeah.
Most famous friend outside football? Jimmy White.
Love that. Nice. I actually like that.
To be honest, when you said Jimmy, I was quite pleased you ended it with White.
Yeah. What would you do if you could be invisible for a day? Visit Dynasty's changing rooms.
What an 80s answer.
What an 80s answer. What is your claim to fame outside football? Dancing. Who would you like most to meet and why? Pam Ewing, for obvious reasons. It's just constantly horny. Favourite paper, The Guardian, a swerve. What would you most want for your birthday? My rootstone. What is your most favourite possession at home? My briefcase.
That's a good one.
What is in his briefcase? Pornography.
It's just pornography and condoms.
Yeah. What don't you like about yourself? My hair being blonde. Which is weird because he bleaches his hair. He has frosted tips,
he's grey
doesn't
now.
He?
He's grey now.
He's grey now, but he used to bleach his hair. If you'd like to be a fly on the wall, where would you most like to be? On top of a lump of cow shit? Just confusing. If you're a mastermind, what would your chosen subject be? Pubs and clubs.
Someone told me a brilliant story about Pard when he was managing in the Premier League is that when Roy Hodgson, as England manager, used to come to watch games, obviously to scout players or whatever, Pardew never liked it because Roy Hodgson would always speak in Swedish to Pardew's wife. And Pardew's wife is obviously Swedish, and Hodgson can speak Swedish, of course. And Pardew apparently would always be paranoid they were talking about him.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
All the answers are like, what actor would you most like to be? Jack Nicholson.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, but he's a celebrated I'm going to use the word shagger.
Yeah.
So well, that's his kind of yeah, thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, he's a young man. He's having the time of his life, you know. It was the 80s.
He's the sort of man.
Redacted.
Pete Donalds. What's wrong with that? We can edit it out.
It's yeah, fine. We are going to edit it out.
Why?
Because that is outrageous. That is outrageous.
Oh, but we'll move on to what Paul Ince has done.
It's very different, and it was on TV.
Yeah.
That's not going to be on TV.
Might be.
Not terrestrial. Yeah. Actually, not terrestrial. It's BT Sport, wouldn't it?
I'll put this at the end.
You could just bleep it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Pete's cackle there. He knows what he's done.
He knows it's exactly the thing, right? So there's two types of Pete kind of thing. One is just the general kind of thing. Yeah, the other one is just, I know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
I've planned this.
I didn't plan it.
It's not on me running order.
All right.
Fine.
As if I'm going to put that in the running order.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Paul Ince.
Might do.
Continue the short, Marcus.
I'd like to talk about Paul Ince being caught on television making a rude gesture to Chris Sutton.
Describe the gesture.
Was it a wanker sign?
I didn't see
it. Marcus, do not introduce the W word to the show, you filth bag.
I see.
Was it better than the Thomas Schaffernacker middle finger on the weather?
No.
It was badly done,
He did that. He tried to disguise it by going,
that was quality.
Chris Sutton looked like he was completely hitting it. I mean, to be honest, our very own Jules Breach is in charge of this rabble. She needs to sort him out.
Yeah, we'll have a word with her later.
Outrageous.
And the funny thing about it to me is just that you're in a TV studio. It's live TV.
Yeah, but you know what it's like.
What was the...
Like a bit
do you remember... what's his name? Just totally James Richardson's dude. Yeah. I can't remember what the...
That was genuine, by the way.
That was genuine. I did not mean to do that. I find it troubling with names, obviously. I find it troubling. But they were on... I can't remember who was doing it, but they thought they were doing... Like,
oh, it was Rafa Honigstein.
Rafa Honigstein was just given...
He thought it was rehearsal.
Well, because it was... David Ginola did it. Originally behind Jake Humphrey's back.
Right, okay.
Because Humphrey said something about Ginola's trainers or something.
Jake Humphrey
isn't that popular.
Well, this was a couple of years ago when it sort of BT was first starting out, and then Rafa Honigstein did it in homage
right,
to David Ginola.
But he did it for ages.
Yeah, but he thought it was rehearsal, and of course it wasn't.
Spectacularly not rehearsals.
No.
Yeah. Spectacularly
don't
not.
Don't do that. What about, I want to move on to Jose Mourinho getting a little emotional when talking about how much he misses football. He never got. And then Cesc Fabregas retweeting the video saying, "Legend, we miss you too. Come back, mister." All right, Cesc. Come on.
Come back, mister.
Focus on your own team.
To be fair, he's playing at Monaco and he thinks
they're
himself,
having a mare as well.
Yeah, I know. They're having a mare. And wouldn't Jose Mourinho, if he can just humble himself ever so slightly and not think of himself as the best of the best.
Is he the first person to ever have to humble himself to end up in Monaco?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That is the size of the man's
That's
ego.
Right. Come Cesc to Monaco.
Fabregas piping up. First day of the season in Liga, he raked his studs down the back of someone's calf, got sent off in the first half. Concentrate on yourself.
You talk about this on the continent, but Mourinho to Monaco.
That'd be lovely.
I mean, everybody is happy. And we're very happy as well, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you are. We're going to say goodbye now. Thanks for listening to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Yeah, back tomorrow with Jules and Andy, so don't miss that.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Let's hope Andy doesn't do any signals.
I'm not back on it, by the way. I'm just saying it's coming up.
All right. Yeah, it's there. Thank you very much. See you soon.
Bye.
This was a
Redacted
production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.